Hey everyone, this is Noor and you're listening to the Radical Contemporary Podcast.
In this episode, I speak to Mohammed Kahail, the fifth generation inheritor of Kahail 1871. Kahail is one of the creatives that has taken the contemporary scene by storm, completely revolutionizing his family's heritage brand that has been around for over 150 years, introducing new concepts, new ideas, as well as new aesthetics to a heritage brand that is a staple in every Egyptian home. It was absolutely a pleasure to speak to Kahail, to visit their showroom in Khan al-Khalili over Ramadan, and to talk to him about the process of inheriting such a heritage and legacy brand and turning it into one of the most coveted carpet and looms brands today, once again. And now to my conversation with Kahail.
Right now, I'm speaking to Mohammed Kahail, but you've asked me to call you Kahail, so that's what I'm going to do. when I first met you, Yani, I wanted to know, like, I recently went to your original showroom in Ramadan in the Khan al-Khalili, and I was just so kind of blown away by the structure of these, like, amazing family heritage brands. So, but first I want to get into you. I want you to tell me what for you is your earliest creative memory, if you can remember.
The funny thing is, like, I was actually asked this question recently and I didn't know how to answer because I wasn't like your typical, you know, like creative genius or whatever. You hear all of these stories of like people saying like, oh, I did like an art piece and I realized this was for me. Like, and Ibn Isbeli, I was a very like mischievous student. I always was into, I used to get into stuff I shouldn't be getting into. And yeah, and looking back at it now, I think that's where my creativity stemmed from. That's not your average story. So I'd be like always doing like these pranks on like other classmates and students. And then I'd always want to take it like a step further. And I'd like do these compilation videos when, in a time there was no technology also, of like these pranks on like these on teachers and other students. And then I'd like, it was sort of like marketing my mischief and trying to show the world about it. And I think that is like, looking back at it now, is really what I could say stemmed my creativity was from, the bad behavior.
That's so interesting. That's actually one of the most interesting answers I've gotten. Like, yeah. Some people, well, like me, I'm sort of a cliche in that sense. Yani, I drew a tiger when I was younger and it was like, wow, perfect drawing. So I realized I have an artistic sense, something like that. It wasn't really wild, Dan. But I think order to be like a mischievous kid and sort of get away with it, you have to be creative, taban. You need to know how to get your way around, Danny. So
exactly.
I want to know a little bit about your upbringing. I met your dad really briefly at the event. He's incredible. So, so, so charismatic, mashallah. So I want to know, what was kind of like that like? Were you sort of closely observing your family business growing up? Did you notice certain things? Wala, for you, was it sort of like, you know, white noise in the background, and then eventually you became interested somehow?
And I was always put into it. Like, from a very young age, my dad would always tell me, Yani, and they're going to finish school, you're going to go to AUC, and you're going to finish early, and you're going to come and work in the family business, which is something I really never wanted to do. And I used to go with him to the factory all the time, like when we'd be coming back from Agami, or like on my weekends, and going to like our showroom in Hilton, and like, it was just something that, yeah, I was always sucked into, and something I really never wanted to do. Yeah, I was given this information of me joining his company when I still wanted to be like a football player. Yeah. as a young kid, it's not something you want to hear, that you're forced to work in a carpet company when you still don't even know what you want to do with your life. But I think that maybe is what pushed me to explore other fields and explore different parts of growing up, Yani. And then like over time and over circumstances, and it was a very big decision for me, like growing up later on, to decide to come back and work. But it's definitely not something that I ever wanted or ever saw myself doing.
So basically it was sort of the story of like, you went and figured out on your own sort of explored different fields, but I'm sure there was a point in time where you felt like, no, I think I'm ready. And it was a personal choice.
Yeah. You know? Exactly. Like, and I moved, like I, after I graduated high school, I studied in the States and I really didn't want to come back at all. And then, yeah, I mean, there was like,
where did you study? Can you share?
In Florida.
Okay.
In Florida, I was having a great time. So when I graduated, I moved to New York for like a couple of months. I wanted to get into like investment banking.
Yeah.
And then my dad called and he was basically, it was at the time where he had just split the company with his brother. Mm-hmm. The typical, you know, like the typical Egyptian family businesses, yep, that they just can't get along after so long. And he decided to do that. And he called me and it was at that time where he was like, listen, and for the first time in his life, he told me that I have a choice, that like I could work somewhere else if I wanted to. And yeah, for me, hearing all, like my whole life growing up that I had to work in this field. And then when I got that call of him telling me like, listen, I've split the brother in my company, your sister, my company, the company with my brother, your sisters don't want to work. And honestly, خلاص, you're at an age where I can't force you to do anything. But Sinta, if you don't want to move back, don't keep doing what you're doing. But just know that I'm getting old and like this could be the end of 150 year legacy. At that point in time, I was like, no, like I need to come back. This is going to be mine eventually. And I can't let something that has been operating for so long just vanish.
So you said something now, 150 year legacy. That's insane. That is incredible. It is truly one of the most, it's a heritage brand in Egypt that everybody knows. And when I told my grandmother I was interviewing you, like, or when I went to your showroom, she was like, of course. And, you know, we used to go and buy our carpets from there, etc. So you came in and I feel like you gave it Kahel 1871. It's known like that. And how did you give it such a contemporary twist? So you sort of came in and I just instantly felt like this insane change. What was your starting point? Have you been sort of going with it as the tide takes you?
And I'm a very systematic person in general. But when I came back, I looked at it from a very business perspective and like the business development point of it. So when I came back, it was a very one-man show. There was a lot of things that needed to be done to remind people that we still are in the industry and Nissa Mawuddin. And I wanted to change people's perception of the brand because it lacked a lot of life. Shifted from becoming a brand, a luxury brand, into turning sort of into manufacturers for projects and for other people. And like we started to really neglect our retail aspect of it. Like your B2C, your clients are coming to our showroom to buy carpets for their own home. And we are more focused on like hotel projects or manufacturing for other companies on a private label or whatever. So this is something that I really wanted to bring back. We started automatically working on the rebranding. We chose 1871 because it's such a historical moment in our timeline. That's when my great-great-grandfather moved to Egypt to start this business. And then I started using the heritage of the brand to explain a story of how long we've been doing this. And then through that was the gateway for me to start exploring contemporary designs, modern designs, start to really target the younger generation, see their needs, and to really expand my brand internationally and to regain the confidence in the Kahel name and to show people that we are a luxury brand and as well as manufacturers.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting because manufacturers, at the end of the day, you're behind the scenes in that sense. A luxury brand is something that is like a staple in someone's home. And I think that's really where the Kahel legacy stands. So you kind of wanted to work on building that rebranding and building that new perception in people's minds. I think you were so successful in it. I want you to let me know. I want you to talk me through like one of the first events that you did, which was a collaboration with young designers only a few months back. I think it was in February. This was such a huge booming event. How did you get the idea to really involve young contemporary creatives in your work?
Yeah. So this for me was the stepping stone. And we actually did one the year before this exhibition, but it was on a smaller scale. So basically, when I first started working in the company and I wanted to really gain more market share and really cater to the new generation, cater to modern contemporary designs, I started thinking about how I could achieve this. And since I'm personally not a designer myself, I started going to the showroom and like seeing the clients that were coming in. And then I started noticing that a lot of them, like our B2C clients, like newlyweds or whatever that were coming in, they weren't finding what they wanted. So as you said before, yeah, like your grandmother knows about us, like the whole older generation knows that what they do is they send their kids who are just getting married, you have to go to Kahel to buy your car. So these younger kids would be coming in and they'd see like, you know, the classic huge silk Persian hand knotted rugs that are extremely expensive and they don't really fit a modern home these days. And they'd realize this isn't what they wanted, so they'd leave. And then we'd also see a lot, like since the industry as a whole has changed, a lot of our clients now are the interior designers. So the interior designers themselves, yes, would be coming to our showrooms. They'd send out their FF&E teams to furnish projects for them. And they'd also be coming in and they'd realize, this isn't what would fit our projects. So I started reaching out to them purely from a sales perspective, telling them, listen, you guys know your clients. You guys know your clients and you know the designs you need for your homes. At the same time, I need new designs and I need to start innovating. So why not collaborate together to have a win-win situation? And we did that last year at Townhouse Gallery. We chose a few established designers like Mona Hussein and Hani Saad, Kareem. And I also wanted younger, up-and-coming, very energetic designers to be a part of it. And then
I remember this event,
too.
It was also a really cool and also aesthetically awesome event.
So we did that and a lot of people showed up. And this was the first uplift, like the brand lift, and like the first showing people our new face and showing them our new products. And then that went really well. And then 2 years passed and I started thinking, okay, like, instead of looking at it from a sales perspective and trying to win on clients because this is خلاص, I achieved that. What I want to do now is I want to create an event, not only to inform people about carpet making and all of that. I want it to be a cultural thing. And I want people to come and I want panel discussions. And I want topics to be discussed, things that people don't usually talk about. And I want it to be, I want a lot of hype around it. And I also want the designers to create something that could be that could compete internationally. So I gave them a brief of the sizes, and that's all I gave them. I told them, run wild with your thoughts. Do whatever you think is necessary.
That's like every dream.
Exactly. And it was extremely tough because the weavers were very they were very resistant on many of the designs because they tell me that we can't do this, we can't do that.
How did your father react? How did your team react? Obviously, it's like, Yanni, I'm sure they're kind of like, what are you doing here, Yanni? It's a very brave move to go into Oh, I want to know more about that.
Yeah, and my dad from day one, there's been a lot of obstacles. Yeah, and he was very resistant as well in a lot of decisions that I used to take. But I still go ahead and do them. As I told you before, I was a very mischievous kid. Not a lot has changed since then. I would work on the designs once he'd leave the factory with the weavers, and then he'd come and realize and come and like yell at me, telling me what's this, what's that. But it's something that I had to do, and I feel like in all family businesses, it's very hard to bounce ideas off each other because of the new like trail of thought and the new school of thought.
Yes.
When you want to get something done, you just have to go ahead and do it, and then you can take the blame for it on the short run. That's if you really believe in what you're doing, then you know the benefits you'll get in the long run. And we really did receive the benefits. And this is something that he saw. It's been a lot easier to do what I want now.
Yeah. I'm sure. And how did you pick the designers that you wanted to collaborate with? Because I know, obviously, in Egypt, we have an incredible pool. And it was really interesting. It was a good mix. And the products that came out of it were definitely pieces that, for example, me, I recently got married in November. I would love, you know what I mean? Like, I think in my home, it would work. And I went through the same process. It's interesting that you know your client well, you know, like, how everyone has a new design perspective.
The designers we chose, I'm always doing my research. I'm always looking at the interior designers that are coming into my showrooms, and I have personal connections with a lot of them. I think for me, I wanted to do a mix of old and new, young and upcoming, it was just from a gut feeling. I would have initial conversations with them, and whether or not I would feel comfortable working with them as well is a very big part, because you see these designers would come to my factory on a daily basis, and you'd have to be very comfortable in the thought process and the back and forth. And I chose them based on whether or not I thought that they believed in what they were doing, and all of them really did. And it really just was mind-blowing what they came up.
So I want to talk a little bit about heritage and legacy and all of these big words that people use. You're a fifth generation within your brand. So I think you're doing a really good job of making sure that not only does it remain being a seriously heavyweight brand in the market, but also approaching younger people. But how are you making sure that, like you said, those like silk Persian, you know, rugs that are super expensive and the thing that you were born out of are protected? I think it becomes sort of like a museum, Bordeaux, in a way.
Yeah, definitely. So, obviously we're still making those pieces because, it's what we know. You know what I mean? It's what we were brought, like raised on. I was raised on in the factory. I was raised on these silk carpets. There's something that are extremely always going to be very important to us as a whole. Our Khan Khalili showroom has turned from a destination of buying rugs into, like you said, into like sort of a museum. We have carpets there from my great grandfather. You know what I mean? It's really turning into like artifacts now. And I think it's a very interesting story. And like, I'd always take, like, anytime we'd have interior designers that we work with abroad, whenever they'd be in Egypt, I'd bring them and I'd show them like our private collections, and they'd really be astonished. You know what I mean? There's some carpets from dating back to the 1920s I still have in mint condition. It's really important, Bardo, to keep this sense of heritage and the sense of pride in what we're doing.
So I think I want to know a little bit more about you as kind of operating in the company as you go now. What are you really excited about coming up? What are you thinking will come next after, you know, the rebrand, the reestablishing your clientele and sort of introducing all these incredible new aesthetics? What comes next for you?
There's so much that we still need to accomplish. It's just continuously informing people about the importance of artisans and craftsmanship, and its continuous growth within the local market. I think now we're going to be mainly focused on new locations, opening new showrooms, creating a bigger stock, a bigger variety of designs, innovation and collaborations and export. And I just really want to take the business to another level and really bring back the depth that we used to have.
Yeah, and so I want to know, Kahir, what's the best part of your job right now, and what's the toughest part?
I can start with the toughest part, and I think I can continue talking about them till next week. I think that the toughest part for me would most definitely be the obstacles that I'm facing with an older generation. They've become less and less now.
Right.
But trying to force new ideas and trying to, our generation in general we're very fast paced. We want to move quick, and we're very, you know, conscious about the competition around us, and conscious about what we have to do to get to where we want to get to. And for me to do that, it requires a lot of fast paced energy. And when you kind of put that energy on an old school like trail of thought, it usually clash. I think that was my biggest obstacle, and still most probably is. Another one would definitely have to be the resistance from the weavers when, you know, like trying to show them new designs and trying to explain to them why we have to do this.
Yeah.
And just trying to uplift the mentality. So change the mentality within the factory as well, within the workers, within the employees, within the higher level management, just changing this work ethic in Egypt in an old school company was definitely the hardest thing to do yet.
Yeah.
So those are the obstacles. I think the best part about doing this is the people that you meet, the networking, and the recognition you get. Like, you sort of forget how far you've come until, because for me, like, I'm always looking forward and always trying to push through and trying to make things bigger and better and more creative and innovative. So you kind of forget the successful days you've had already. So it's very refreshing, Nassan, when someone like you just said comes and tells you like really what you're doing is great and like it's a great job. And like, when you just take a moment and think about how far you've come, I think for me that's the main like satisfaction I get, as well as seeing the weavers also finishing a carpet they thought they couldn't do, and seeing the look on their face when it gets sold is something for them, which is amazing. And then finally, I've had a lot of bad days, a lot of clashes with my dad, but I think the memories that I have with him on a daily basis, like on the good days when we do something together that is positive and all of that, is something that I'll keep very close to my heart in the next however many years, and stories I'm going to be telling my kids about.
Yeah, I think that's an incredible thing. And I've seen your passion firsthand. So I'm really, really impressed by it, truly. I think my last question for you is, what do you hope for people to experience when they own a Kahel piece, whether one that's a heritage piece or one of your more contemporary collections? What do you really hope for them to feel when they have one of these rugs in their home?
I think it's sort of like a sense of pride that they should have owning a piece of history, because inshallah the name will continue for another 150 years, and this is something I want to have people talk about. Like, I have a Kahel piece at home. Like, I want them to be happy with it. I want them to know that this is made by an artisan that took 6 to 12 months to make, the amount of effort put into it, and just to really be happy owning a piece of history.
Thank you so much. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. And don't forget to subscribe, give us a review, shoot me a text, or direct message us on Instagram at Radical Contemporary, where we'd love to hear your feedback and the topics you'd like to listen to. Also, you can check out our website, www.radicalcontemporary.com, where all of our content is available. Finally, we'll be hosting a new guest every week, so stay tuned.